Staring at her sparse office one morning, early on in her tenure, Truss turned to her aides and sighed expansively. I need art! Excuse me, Secretary of State, came the nervous reply of an official, perhaps bracing for another of Truss's regular intellectual spot tests. I need art, she repeated a little more tersely. I've got no art. Everyone else has art in their offices. Well, what sort of art would you like, Secretary of State? Look, I don't have time to get into this. I don't know. Just get me some art, was Truss's only order. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, we've done a lot of videos on here about autism and the nature of autism, but it's been particularly focused on autism among men. And today I would like to look at autism among women, because autism among women is far more rare. There seems to be a ratio of sort of 4 to 1 in favour of men having autism. It is massively underdiagnosed and it is only identifiable with great difficulty. It's much more subtle. And as I hope is clear, it seems to me that Liz Truss is the ultimate example of an autistic woman. But before I look into this, a quick word from our sponsor. Well, first, a word from our sponsor. Now, we are all truth seekers here at the Jolly Heretic Public House, but here's the problem, chaps. We can only get to the truth if we have multiple perspectives, if we have multiple interpretations, if we have access to the other side, if we have access to all viewpoints. Only then can we really understand what's going on in the world, and we are increasingly finding that we cannot do that. Information is blocked, websites are blocked, alternative perspectives are blocked, and so the only way round this, realistically, is some form of VPN. And as far as I can see, Atlas VPN gives you everything you can possibly need. There is currently a steal Black Friday deal going on in which you can get Atlas VPN Premium for just $1.70 per month plus 6 months extra with a 30-day money-back guarantee. This is the best VPN offer Atlas have ever done, and it's a time-limited offer, so it's time to get on with it, chap. There are all kinds of benefits to Atlas VPN. There's this offer of just this brilliant offer. You can unlock your favourite content from all over the world. If you can't access your favourite programme or whatever, your Atlas VPN has got you covered. You can keep your Google searches secret and private using Atlas VPN. You can stop ads and malware. You can save money online. It will give you get you the best deals while shopping online, and it will all that kind of stuff. And you can protect unlimited devices using Atlas VPN. As I say, there is a fantastic offer on at the moment in which it's $1.70 a month plus 6 months extra with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So this really is the cheapest and best way to get a VPN. We increasingly need VPNs. The truth is blocked. The truth is covered up. We can't get access to information. And in a society that's doing this to us, we need a VPN. And as far as I can see, Atlas VPN is where it's at, chaps. And back to the video. Okay, so autism in girls. We all know, the symptoms of autism in boys. Autism spectrum disorder is a particular disorder characterized essentially by being deficient in social skill, but on the other hand, very high in systematizing. So it's been characterized by Simon Baron Cohen as the extreme male brain. Very high in systematizing, wanting to understand the world and so on, but very low in empathy, poor at understanding other people's social signals, poor at reading social signals, that sort of thing. It's also associated with becoming easily overstimulated by being a hypersensitive to stimuli, and so being easily overwhelmed by stimuli, and by obsessiveness and very, very narrow and focused interests. And this is particularly of interest on our channel because it means that autism tends to be associated with, when it's accompanied by very high intelligence, with kind of genius traits, because such people don't care about offending people, and they sort of lack impulse, they lack an ability or a desire to follow the rules, and they come up with brilliant things. And we've looked in detail before autism among men, but among women it's really rather subtle. It's really rather interesting, and the reason for this is that females are psychologically different from males. Females are evolved to be far more pro-social, to be far more aware of social signals. They have a much greater desire to socially conform. They are much higher in social anxiety. They are much higher in impulse control. They are much higher in altruism. Remember, the element of autism that is a problem is empathy. They are low in empathy. They have problems understanding how other people feel and reading social signals. But they are high in altruism, and so they want to conform. They want to fit in. And so therefore, they have an ability that males who are autistic do not have to, in a sense, hide their autism, to cloak their autism. And indeed, it has been found that for females to display the same level, the same symptomology as males with autism, they have to have considerably more genes that cause autism than do the males. They literally have to be more autistic in order to display the same symptoms. So imagine that. They're feeling just as autistic as the males. They're feeling just as overwhelmed by stimuli as the males. They're feeling just as socially awkward as the males. They're feeling just as obsessed with their ideas and the passionate about their ideas as the males. They're feeling just as strong a desire to systematize and understand the world and make sense of the world as are the males. They're feeling all these things the same, but it's camouflaged by their higher altruism and higher impulse control, so they're not getting any help. So once they do get help, they have to be feeling it much worse than the males to get any kind of assistance. So it's particularly difficult for females. Now, what are the symptoms then of autism among girls? Well, all of these relate actually to a biography that I've recently read called Out of the Blue, which is a very interesting book, which is a biography of Liz Truss. Liz Truss seems to me to be the typical autistic female, and that is why I think things have gone wrong. Reading that book suddenly made me realise that, yep, in every way, she's the typical autistic female. First of all, they require a great deal of guidance from others, and they tend to have female friends that mother them and look after them. The book itself comments that Liz Truss's career in politics basically involved being guided by others all the time. At every level of her political career, there is only a very limited degree to which she had to think for herself or do anything for herself or come up with her own policies. It basically involved just fitting in behind the scenes and doing what she was told by her advisors and so on. Only when she stopped doing that, i.e. when she became Prime Minister, only when she stopped being guided by others and had to come up with her own policies and things like that, only then did things start to go seriously wrong for her, because that is the problem with a person that is autistic. They will not have an understanding of how people will react emotionally to their to what they do. They see things in purely logical, mathematical terms. And this was commented on, in fact, in the book, again and again and again, that Liz Truss is, her father was professor of mathematics. She is absolutely fascinated by mathematics. She did A-level maths and A-level higher maths. When she has to solve problems, it's noted that she solves them mathematically and then comes to a conclusion that is the logical conclusion. And as far as she's concerned, that's it. That must be the conclusion and it must be right. And that mathematical processing does not involve thinking about the emotions of other people. So one of the things that people didn't like, for example, was her decreasing taxes on very rich people. It didn't look good. But she had mathematically reasoned that this would be good for the economy or something, and so therefore it had to be done. Perhaps you can see that with the poll tax and Margaret Thatcher as well. She'd reasoned that it was logical. Had a degree in chemistry, of course, reasoned that it was logical, and then that was it. That was it. It was logical, and she couldn't be moved on it. And that's the same thing with Liz Truss. As far as she's concerned, maths is everything. In fact, it's well known that during interviews and so forth, she's said to people, do you have A-level maths, by the way? No. Oh, shame. So you're dealing with somebody who is highly mathematical in their thinking. A second thing with these autistic girls is obviously the same sensitivity challenges that boys have. A third thing is passionate but limited interests, that they will tend to be quite introvert and quite socially, quite shy and so forth, which I think Liz Truss comes across as, unless she's dealing with something that she's really interested in. And when autistics become interested in something, they become really interested in it. They become fascinated in it. They become immersed in it. It becomes the only thing they're interested in and the only thing that they're interested in talking about. And in the case of Liz Truss, that was politics. And she decided to rebel against her socialist left-wing parents slightly by becoming involved in the Liberal Democrats. But when she became involved in the Liberal Democrats, you know, she really went for it. And when they are obsessed with something, these autistics, when they're really into it, they'll be quite confident about it because they'll love it and they'll want to tell the world about it. And they'll see it as the only thing that's important in their lives. So she became involved in the Liberal Democrats for whatever reason. And then she became a passionate anti-monarchist. And then she went to the conference, was confident enough as an undergrad, she became in charge of Oxford University Liberal Democrats. And then she went to the conference and did a speech, quite odd in how it was conveyed, but we'll look at that in a minute. And she was absolutely confident. And do we think that conference? Do we? Eventually then, not long after that, she was, again, through reasoning processes. It wasn't some emotional experience. Apparently she was in the car with a senior member of the Liberal Democrats going about campaigning, and they disagreed on economic policy. And this person sort of joked to her, "Oh, come on, Liz, you really are just a Tory, really, aren't you?" Jokingly, because they were having this passionate argument about economic policy. And apparently then she thought to herself, "Well, maybe I am." And then she logically reasoned, sort of mathematically, that yes, she was a Tory. Yeah. Now, there could have been other elements to this as well, such as ambition, such as realising that the Conservative Party at that time in the 90s was at a low ebb. And so therefore, if you get involved in it, then you will be successful in it on an upward trajectory, which is the case, because she was elected to Parliament in 2010 when it was and she's never had to have any time in opposition. And as a woman, she may have understood that it would be in her that they'd go pro-Labour, they'd imitate Labour's policies and women's shortlists or whatever. And so this was the group to get involved with politically, perhaps. But according to her, she mathematically reasoned when Simon Hughes, who was later the deputy leader of the Liberal Democrats, argued with her that, OK, yeah, maybe she is a Tory. And she, by the end of university, had abandoned Liberal Democrats and then was absolutely obsessively in favour of the Conservative Party and would spend all her spare time involved in campaigning. Paying for it and that kind of thing. So we have confidence, but only with regard to things they're interested in, only with regards to things they're passionate about, that they know about and they're confident about. Otherwise, they're shy. Difficulty making friends. We don't know about that with Liz Truss. Apparently, she does have a group of friends and so forth. Restricted conversation types. Well, that fits with the interest. Difficulty controlling emotion. Now, that's another thing with autistics. They become overwhelmed. They experience every feeling, every sense more strongly than do normal people. And so you see times with Liz Truss, for example, in one of her last PMQs, or was it her last one, where she goes, "I am a fighter, not a quitter." And you can see in the moment that is kind of genuine, that she is overwhelmed by how she feels, that it's too much for her. And this is another sign of autism among females, that they can become overwhelmed by emotion. As I say, they are shy, but they are extrovert, because they will go on and on about and talk about that which that they are really interested in. They will also have speech and language difficulties, because the way we learn to speak in general is by noticing what other people do and imitating what other people do. And it's via empathy, essentially. And so if you don't do that, then you will sound odd. So I've done impressions before of my friend from university, Alex / Dreyer, and the way he spoke was in this very unusual way. Are you trying to tell me that you are going to do a video talking about Liz Truss and female autism? Yes, actually, I am. I'm trying to. I'm going to do that. Well, when you say you're going to do it about Liz Truss and female autism, are you going to do it about, like, Liz Truss as an autistic? Or are you going to do it about separate components of the video about Liz Truss and then about female autism? And now, what you notice with Liz Truss is that she sounds very odd. The way she talks, I can't really do it a good impression of it, but the best I can do, it sounds almost, sometimes, it varies according to who she's talking to, but it sounds almost like a sort of weird faux country accent. I think that what I have to do as Prime Minister is listen very carefully to what people are saying to me, and it sounds almost a bit like someone trying to do a Hampshire accent or something like that, but it's not quite like that, because sometimes it goes up and it's I think that we kind of it's kind of a bit RP, and then sometimes it goes down a bit like that. So it's this strange mixture of accents. Now, on the one hand, that could reflect the fact that she's been, due to her father being a university professor who's done international professorships and whatever, she's been brought up all over the place. She was born in Leeds and then ended up in Scotland. And I think that she started school, I think I'm right in saying, in Scotland. And then from Scotland, she goes to Leeds. And then from Leeds, it's time in Canada. And then back in Leeds again, and so forth. So it could be this weird mixture of accents that she has absorbed like a sponge. Partly it could be that, but I think that's not so likely, because I know other people that have travelled around internationally and they don't have weird accents. I think it's more likely she just has adopted an odd accent. She's just looked at various people on TV probably and thought, I'd like to sound like them. I'd better do things so that I sound like them on certain words, consciously and unconsciously. And so therefore her accent comes across as false. It comes across as strange. It comes across as unusual. And not only that, but the way she talks, it's kind of quite odd. And that's the thing with people that are autistic. They will often speak in this peculiar manner, this idiosyncratic manner, because they don't quite understand how they come across. They don't quite get it right. So speech and language difficulties. Another thing I've not noticed that you get among autistic girls and not so much among boys is what's called stimming. So remember what it's like. The boys are all these feelings, all these intense feelings that the autistic person is experiencing, that the overstimulation, easily overstimulated, it's the whole world is too much for them and so forth, and intense anxiety really about the world not making sense, and so a strong desire to systematize the world and for it to make sense. This is the world of this, always getting it wrong, always offending people and therefore becoming anxious about offending people, being told again and again in their childhood probably that they're selfish or they're inconsiderate or they're rude or whatever, or they're blunt, and therefore kind of developing a kind of low self-esteem for because of that, and not being sure what you should do and what you shouldn't do. This is the difficult world in which they live, and when it becomes too much for them, often what they'll do is it's more noticeable among girls is what's called stimming, stimulation. So they do something to calm themselves down. So stroking your hand or doing this, or I knew one boy that was a bit autistic. He used to do this. Right? Odd forms of behaviour. And with Liz Truss, you notice that there's little subtle signs of this, that she will sit in this very tight way and move her hands. And I think that you have a very subtle element of stimming. Another is routine is extremely important to these people. Now, this is interesting in the biography that Liz Truss has very, and not just that, also fussy eater. So routines are very important to Liz Truss. Everything is people, when she stays in hotels or whatever, as a minister, it's made clear that things have to be done in a certain way. The minister absolutely demands that this is what is for breakfast. Breakfast should be composed of croissants and things like that. That is her breakfast. She has to have access. She loves cappuccinos, and she has to have access to a cappuccino machine and specific kinds of cappuccinos. And that must be the case. And if that is not the case, then the minister will become very upset. So it's incredibly demanding and clear. The minister wants things in certain ways. The minister will have a fridge in her room, and in that room there will be a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc. And there must be a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc. And the minister will become very upset if there is not a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc for her to drink at the end of the day! Because it has to be like that, because if it isn't, then the world doesn't make sense, and there's chaos, and there's just, oh, it's just too much, and I need to control my world, and it has to be there like that, and just, ah! Right. That is what it is like to be Liz Truss, and that is indeed the case, and this is mentioned in the book. And apparently she decided to resign on the evening before she did so, while speaking to her husband, Hugh O'Leary, who we'll move on to in a minute, over a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc and a pork pie, Which is, I mean, absolutely bizarre. A bizarre mix of things. But we'll move on to the bizarreness next. So what you then have then is other subtle signs of being odd. So people who are autistic will be, females who are autistic, will dress often in a rather quirky and unusual manner. The most extreme example I know of is a girl whose sister's autistic and she's obsessed with the Victorian era. And she dresses, or this is 20 years ago, but and she exclusively dresses in Victorian clothes and is only interested in Victorian things. I've met various girls who have autistic traits, and they will often dress in quite an old-fashioned way. But it will be quite pronounced. It will be quite unusual. Why? Well, because they don't understand that other people think that they're odd and think that they're strange. That they just don't get it. So therefore, they end up dressing like that. They become particularly interested in certain things that they want to wear. They have obsessive. It makes sense of their world to do this, and so they do it and bugger the consequences to a certain degree. And also, one way of dealing with the world as chaos, with the world as not making sense, because you're offending people all the time, and there's just so much stimulation, and you can't comprehend it, and it's just too much. Is to create a strong sense of identity, a strong sense of who you are, to reassure yourself that the world does make sense. And this can be done, of course, through dressing in an unusual way, in a sort of quirky way. And I suppose also, if you have difficulties in other areas of life, such as making friends or dealing with people, then at least being quirky can be something attractive about you. So when Liz Truss turned up at Oxford University when she began, she dressed in this noticeably weird way, in this sort of weird grunge sort of way. Again, with regard to confidence, when it's something they're shy, except when it's something that really matters and is important to them. When she was interviewed at Oxford, she was rejected, basically, from her... What can happen if you go for an interview at Oxford or any university like that, is you can, if it has colleges, is that you might be rejected from your first choice college, but be considered good enough potentially to go to the university, even though that college doesn't want you because it's a popular college or whatever and they can do what they like. And therefore you get pulled and you get interviewed by a less popular college. And what they're saying to that less popular college is, this person is good enough to go, in our view, to go to this university, having interviewed them, but we think we can do better at our college. So would you like them at your college, see what you like, and they perhaps they go there unless they really ball up the interview somehow, you know, offend the interviewers or something. And so she was sent over to St Hilda's, which was an all-female institution, and she was not having this. In the same way that she was extremely upset when she once went on an aeroplane and her brothers were given I'm a mini captain badges and she was given I'm a mini air hostess badges. She was not having this. No. This was unfair that she should be sent to an all-female college. And apparently she caused a huge stink in the interview itself at St Hilda's, went on about how terrible it was that it was an all-female college and why was it an all-female college. And was incredibly rude to the interviewers, with I guess a kind of confidence that in some way impressed them, and managed to persuade them, I don't know how, to send her back to the other college where she eventually, who had rejected her essentially, where she caused such a fuss that where she eventually got a place. Now, I mean, that is an incredible level of self-confidence, which a lot of people, a lot of students that were being interviewed at Oxford or whatever would just feel lucky to be there. A lot of people get rejected just based on their, just on application and don't get interviewed. But she was that confident, that fervent about that she had to go to Oxford and she had to go to that college, and she was able to persuade them to do so through pure force of will. And this is something which she later talked about that she did. She kind of argued her way into Oxford. And this is something which is true again among autistic males and autistic females, that when they're absolutely fervent on something, then there's no stopping them, and it can actually be extremely impressive. So this is another... returning though to the routines, another thing about autistic girls that's noticeable is that they are extremely fussy eaters. Why? Well, they feel everything very strongly, and this includes certain tastes and certain sensations which they might come to, you know, somebody else could tolerate it. I don't particularly like it, but I don't mind. But someone that's autistic is feeling it so intensely that it's either lovely and amazing or it's disgusting. And so this is why Liz Truss has to have certain things. So she has to have the Chavignon Blanc, and she absolutely, I mean, it's stated when she stayed in hotels when she was a minister, do not give Liz Truss fruit for breakfast. Liz Truss does not like fruit, and she certainly doesn't like it for breakfast. She finds it offensive, essentially, that she should be given fruit for breakfast. It's croissants, damn it. Lots and lots of croissants. no fruit. And Liz Truss, it was stressed with any kind of food, absolutely no mayonnaise. Whatever you give her, sandwiches, fine. Mayonnaise should not be anywhere near it. No mayonnaise. Not like a bit of mayonnaise. Not, absolutely, she hates mayonnaise. It's disgusting. And there was apparently an incident where she was in Japan as foreign minister or agriculture minister or something. And, of course, they eat a lot of raw fish there. And she was trying to explain to this Japanese woman that, look, I want my fish cooked. I want it cooked. Cooked. I want it cooked, damn it. No raw fish. So you have these kinds of elements as well. As I say, seen as quirky. But the thing is, they're able to learn social norms. And so there's a sense in which they kind of go under the radar. But there's a sense in which it will come out. So, for example, she was at a speech or something of schoolgirls, and they said to her, so what's your advice to these schoolgirls on how to become a politician? And, of course, she's meant to say, oh, we'll break the glass ceiling and work hard. And she just said, be good at maths. So there's a bluntness to her, which is autistic. Now, the sexual element to Liz Truss, we've looked at before in another video, is very interesting, that she had an affair when she was trying to become an MP in the noughties. She had a Mark Field, who was a member of parliament, who was her mentor. She was already married at the time, and she had an affair with Mark Field. And subsequently, Mark Field's wife sued for divorce, and the whole thing came out. And then it turned out that she hadn't directly told the Conservative Association in Norfolk about this, and so on this basis they almost overturned her candidateship and rejected her, but they didn't in the end. And there was an earlier seat where she was going to be selected, and they found out about the affair and she was rejected from it, so it almost wrecked her political career. And apparently it was during this affair that she got pregnant, but apparently by her husband, not by her lover, and ended the affair. She got pregnant during it. But anyway, one of the things that the research indicates is that autistic females are more likely to have adverse sexual experiences. They are less heterosexual. Well, they are more likely to be fetishists. Now, this all makes sense because autistic people are high levels of stimuli, high levels of obsessiveness, high levels of routine, high levels of sexuality, easily create sexual associations, high levels of anxiety. All of these things help to create fetishism, whatever. But more likely to have adverse sexual experiences, more likely to have sexual anxiety, and more likely to be sexually promiscuous than are controls. Now, why is this the case? Well, one of the things that correlates with sexual promiscuity is anxiety in women is anxiety and low self-esteem. So you don't feel much self-worth. You don't feel that you look good. You've been told all your life that you're crap and you've got no social skills. And then someone's interested in you and someone likes you. And so therefore you, and particularly if they are of high status and whatever, and you fancy them, then there's a sense in which you will be inclined to kind of go for it, to live for the now. Life has set you up to live for the now. Life has been difficult for you. Life is overwhelming. Life is all of this stimuli all the time. Life doesn't make any sense. Life is chaotic. And that makes you, in a sense, want to live for the now. And that would, I think, explain her sexual promiscuity, which almost ruined her career. What also might help to explain it is that autistics feel feelings strongly. They are oversensitive to stimuli, which means that they are sensitive to noise, they are sensitive to touch, they are sensitive to taste, they feel stimuli strongly in that sense, but they also feel their own internal stimuli strongly. And if you think about it, what is hate, what is sadness, what is love, other than a series of changes happening in the body? A series of internal stimuli. And they will feel those internal stimuli very strongly. And in that sense, they will feel feelings such as love, very, very strongly. So you would expect them to be to easily fall in love, to easily become overwhelmed by passion, and to easily become dysregulated in that way, and to be unable to control themselves. And also, as I said earlier about living fast, living for the now, there is a sense in which autistic people are inherently anxious. The world is unstable. stable, and therefore they desperately crave certainty and order, and they are constantly worried about what will happen in the future. They are constantly worried about disorder, about what might happen, and therefore they crave certainty and order and knowing what's going to happen. And so in that, there's that sense in which if something good is presented to them, they might go for it because they might worry that something good might never be presented to them ever again. The source of their anxiety is a constant, the world is chaos, it's overwhelming, and therefore we need to structure it, and I want to be able to predict what could happen, because if I can't, it could be chaotic. So that could be relevant as well. So there you are. That is autistic women, of which Liz Truss is a very clear example. They fly under the radar, and they therefore have a much worse time, and they don't get the help they need. So if you know any women that might be autistic, then, you know, cut them some slack.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you can also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!